Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the glory. Can I get amen? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again in the house of the Lord. We are here for you, Lord Jesus, and we want you to have your way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have thy way, O Lord, and let the light that comes from your word, let it shine in our hearts this morning. Energize that faith, that seed that's inside each and every one of us. Let your name be glorified. We give you the praise and give you the glory. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, you can do better than that. Put your hands together for the Lord. That's right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going back by the grace of God today to the book of Hebrews. So you know we've been doing the book of Hebrews for several weeks. Every time I get a chance, come up here, I pick it up again. So for last week, on account of New Year, you know, I went a different way. But I'm going back to the book of Hebrews today. And I couldn't wait to get to this chapter right here. My favorite chapter. I mean, it's got to be one of my favorite chapters in that whole Bible. And we're in Hebrews chapter 11 today. So Hebrews chapter 11, God's Hall of Faith. Amen? Nah, not Hall of Fame. Well, maybe fame, but Hall of Faith. Now, you've heard about the Hall of Fame, and you've heard that people get inducted, you know, every so often. And I believe annually and even sometimes sooner, I mean quicker or more frequently, they get inducted, you know, and so forth like that. But let's see what God has to say about, you know, faith and the stories of faith that are going to be listed in this chapter of Hebrews 11. I'm going to go through it very quickly. I want to try to cover the whole chapter. So I'm going to go through very quickly, but there's something that the Lord wants me to bring out. So here we go. Now, faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for. Amen? So right away we see that faith has a substance to it. It's not just entirely abstract. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you know, you say, well, how do you know it's going to be? Because I believe. Amen? Praise the Lord. Also, first, well, God said so, and then I believe it. Well, we'll get more into that and so on. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. You know, through faith, they obtained a good report. You know, what kind of report are you obtaining with God? We're going to hear more about that in this message. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen are not made out of things that do appear. We understand that. God, he called things out of nothing. We understand that by faith. He did that. By faith, we also understand that Abel offered to God a sacrifice that was more excellent than Cain. And, you know, he obtained the witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift. And by it, he being dead, he yet speaketh. I'm going through this very quickly, and I'm going to come back. By faith, Enoch. You know, when I get to some of the ones that I want to highlight, I may stop and go a little deeper. Like this one here, Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I love the story of Enoch. Amen. Because he was a trailblazer. Now, you can listen to the message on trailblazers that we preached a few years back on the website. But Enoch was a trailblazer. Why was he a trailblazer? Because, you know, there wasn't anybody that we know of that had achieved, you know, what he did by being translated. All his ancestors, all his predecessors, they all died. You know, no matter how long they lived, you know, 969 years, 939, 960, 900 this and that, eventually they all died. But this man, Enoch, he walked with God. And by revelation, he understood that death was not the only way to go. And God took him. Can you say praise the Lord? So I love the story of Enoch. You have to go back and read it in Genesis and so forth. And, you know, and the book of Jude talks about him a little bit. Not too much is said about him. But he is one man that is still alive. How many of you believe that? Enoch is still alive till this day. You know, and just consider that he's just 7 generations from Adam, you know, down there. And he's still alive till this very day. And I believe that the Bible says that he was translated that he should not see death. And I believe that he's one of those people that will not die. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, by faith, he did all those things and he pleased the Lord. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's to please God. For whosoever cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, faith is one of those few things in the Bible that we are told that if you don't have, it's impossible to get anywhere with God. You know, holiness, as we heard in our prayer session this morning, is another one of them. Without holiness, no man can see the Lord. And without faith, you cannot please the Lord. It says right here. You know, so that's how important this faith is. Now, there's other things and so forth that keep you out of trouble and all of that, you know. But faith right here, without it, you cannot please the Lord. Absolutely. Now, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, he moved with fear. You know, that's what he was told to do. God told him, God gave him something coming. He wasn't yet there. This is verse 7. And he moved with fear, and he built an ark to the saving of his house, by the which also he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, I want to point something out here, folks. Listen to this story about Noah. When God predicted something and told him what was coming, he believed it and he moved quickly, you know, and he saved his whole family, you know. But all the other people didn't believe it and, didn't matter. You know, they perished, you know. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. God is warning now and showing us things to come. Well, some people will believe, some people will take heed, and they will be saved. Others will not take heed. They may be destroyed, just like the story that we saw in the day of Noah. But notice also one thing. God always has a remnant. Can you say amen? Amen. God will always have somebody that will believe him. Always. And as soon as at least one person believes, that's what we see here. Because he believed, we are told that he condemned the whole world. So that's very critical. And God will always have somebody. Now, what if the whole world doesn't believe? No, that's never going to happen. God will always have people that believe. And when somebody believes, everybody else is condemned that did not believe. That's what the Bible is saying here. By his faith, he condemned the whole world because the others did not believe. Now, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He didn't know where he was going, but yet he went. He obeyed God. Abraham, he did. God told him, brought him out of the land, you know, Ur and so on, and the Chaldees. And he told him to go somewhere. He didn't know where he was going, but he believed God and he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city. Oh, my. Abraham looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, he knew that his time on earth was, you know, temporary. You know, he considered himself as a pilgrim and a stranger, and he was looking for a more permanent city elsewhere, which was built by God. Now, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there of one and so forth, you know, even of him as good as dead, as many as the multitudes of the stars in the sky, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Because of the faith that Abraham had, you know, all the blessings came, and many, 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 the children of Israel finally grew to a number which, you know, which cannot be numbered. And all the things that, you know, that all these people are. Now, these people that are listed here in Hebrews 11, they are ordinary people. Praise the Lord. These were ordinary people. These are just the stories of their lives. But they are ordinary people. They are not, you know, they are not super agents or anything like that. They're just ordinary people. But they believed God. And they lived extraordinary lives because of their faith. Now these, verse 13, all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I have preached on this verse many, many times in this church, but I'm going to give it to you again today. One time I preached on faith specs, and that was taken out of this verse right here. There are four elements of how these people walked their faith. The first thing is they saw the promise afar off. So that's the S. Then they were persuaded of them. That's the P. Then they embraced them. That's the E. And then C is confess. So specs, you know, you see that for you to believe something, you have to find out where it is in the Word of God. Because faith, in order for it to be valid, must be based on the Word of God. Amen. Amen, folks. Are you still with me? You can't just believe in something just for believing's sake. You know, God stands by His word. If God didn't promise it, if it happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, I don't know. But if God promised it, it will happen when we meet the conditions. Amen. Now, so see the promise. Be persuaded of the promise. Embrace the promise and begin to confess and act upon it. Now, how do you see the promise? You must search the scriptures. Jesus said himself, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Search the scriptures. All promises of God are there. Now, what does it mean to be persuaded of them? That means we know that God is able to keep the promises that he has promised. Amen. That's being persuaded of the promise. But what about being embracing the promise? Well, sometimes people believe that God is able to do whatever he said, but they don't embrace it for themselves. You know, they believe that God did it in the past, and they believe that God's going to do it in the future, but they don't really embrace it for themselves. You know, so not only should we see God's promise, know about it in the Bible, search it out, not only should we be persuaded that God is able to keep, that's what Abraham, we're told in Galatians 4, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Amen? Praise the Lord. He staggered not. It's Romans chapter 4, 20. He says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and he was being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he also was able to keep. That's Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. So once we see the promise and we're persuaded of them, we must also embrace that promise for ourselves. And then after that, you begin to confess. These people are confessing the word of God that, you know, where they're looking for a city, we're strangers, we're going to a better place. You begin to confess and begin to walk towards the promise. So we see the four stages there of how they walked their faith. So that's something very interesting for us to learn from Hebrews 11 and verse 13. Now I continue. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15 of Hebrews 11. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they would have had opportunity to have returned. Now, this scripture verse packs a lot of information and a lesson. If you are mindful of the past, you have plenty of opportunity to go back. It's like the children of Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, they were always mindful of Egypt. And they, in their minds, they went back to Egypt. They didn't physically go back, but many of them returned in their hearts back to Egypt. You know, instead of going forward with God, they always wanted to go back. And they would say, well, didn't we have graves in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here? Didn't we have this and so forth? Would to God we were in Egypt and all of that and so forth. And they went back. They were always mindful of the past. A lot of people live in the past. Let's leave the past behind us and move forward. Amen? Amen. You cannot change the past. There's nothing you can do. It's already gone. I cannot go back into yesterday and do something over that I did yesterday. You know, maybe I have an opportunity to fix it today, but I can't go back and do whatever I did over yesterday. Yesterday is already gone. Today is the day that we must believe God and take action. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, these people were desiring a country, and there were many things that they learned from God. They knew that there was a country and a heavenly place. And because they believed that, God himself was not ashamed to be called their God, and he had prepared for them a city. You see that in verse 16. Then we go back again to Abraham in verse 17. And he began to tell how he was tried, you know, how he offered up Isaac, he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, and so on and so forth. And he knew that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, even if he had to kill him. He knew that. And the Bible says, in a way, figuratively speaking, you might say that he received him back from the dead, because he had already put him on the fire altar and so forth to kill him. You know, but God said, don't do it. And God provided for himself a lamb. Now, and he went on and on and began to speak of all the things down through the line. You know, the exploits of Abraham, the exploits of Isaac. Now, these people, like I said, are ordinary people. Look at some of the things that have been pointed out here, that God is taking time to have written down in this book. I mean, these are ordinary things, you know, but, you know, they believed God and it came to pass. You see, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, these people, when they believed God and they spoke the word of God, it was the way it was upon their children, whatever they pronounced. You know, and it was just like that. It was just, it would look like it was a natural blessing then, but God was behind it, and it came to pass just the way they spoke it. Jacob himself, when he was dying, verse 21, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. You may remember the story when he crossed his hands from Manasseh and Ephraim. You know, we've preached about that before. And all the things that he pronounced came to pass. You know, and he was like an ordinary grandfather, but he did that. You know, and Joseph himself, when he died, he made mention of the departing of children of Israel. He said, look, when you guys leave from this place, so he knew that they were going to leave. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you leave, don't leave my bones here, he said. Take my bones with you, and so on. So he made a commandment concerning his bones. Now, we go on to Moses. I'm trying to rush through here. We find that Moses, you know, when he was born, was a goodly child. And the commandment of Pharaoh was to kill all the young males then, you know, and so forth. But they didn't. You know, they put him in the river and saved him alive and so forth. You know the story. And we are told that when he was come to years, in verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you imagine that? Is that, you know, the Bible counts that as faith. Take a note of that. It said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, by faith, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of Christ rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. And the Bible said that was by faith. Now, so let me tell you something today, folks. If you are enduring suffering for Christ, that is counted also faith. Amen. God, there is nothing else that Moses did here. He said, by faith, he endured and he wanted to suffer for Christ rather than, you know, join himself with Egypt. So for those who also, you know, endure temptation or endure trial or persecution or ridicule for the sake of Christ, that's also faith if you use it correctly. Now, he esteemed the reproach of Christ to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, he was looking for something, you know, better than what he could get. And he knew that God's reward was better than anything that he could give up. If you give up anything for Christ, hallelujah, you will get a lot more. Jesus said, there is no man that has forsaken anything, you know, on my behalf, whether brother, whether sister, whether house, whether this or that and so forth, or family and so on. But in this world, you get many, many more, hundreds more, you know, and the life to come, eternal life. You know, sometimes those blessings will come with persecutions as well. We know that, but the Lord promised great things for us if we carry on and hold on till the end. So Moses, he forsook Egypt. He did all of these things. He kept the Passover by faith, you know, and they went through the Red Sea by faith. Now, You should take time to read those accounts in the chapters of Exodus 13 and 14 and so on, and read all of the things that they did, how they went through all those places. And God continued to mention all of these people right down through the line. And look at even verse 31. He said, by faith, even the harlot Rahab. Can you imagine? You know, Jesus one time, he told the Pharisees, he said, the harlots and all the sinners and so forth, which you call sinners, they will enter the kingdom of God before you. And you all that think that you belong will be cast out. Why? Because of your arrogance and your disobedience to the word of God. And you didn't understand the mercy of God. Amen? And this woman, Rahab, even though he was a harlot in those days, he obtained mercy. Even though she was a harlot, I mean, she obtained mercy from the Lord. You know, and the people, they didn't destroy her, you know, because of what the pact made with her, the agreement. And they said, well, when we come back to destroy the city, you put this ribbon over your window and so forth, and we'll save you alive. And she hid the spies and did all of that, and she got a reward. And she has a place in history. And it's named here. You know, and we see that even down the line, you know, she's in the genealogy of the Christ somewhere. You know, so all these things, all these people, all the things that they are writing about them here, they're ordinary things. What shall I more say? Verse 32. The time would fail me to talk of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David and the Samuel and their prophets and so on. You know, who through faith, I love this, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Amen. Amen. Through faith, Daniel subdued kingdoms. He rose from nothing. We heard about that in the changing of his story message last week. But through faith, he subdued kingdoms. And he became president of the presidents and presided over the magicians and all the wise people and so forth. Through faith, he did that, we're told. Through faith, even his companions he himself stopped the mouth of lions. His companions quenched the violence of the fire. I mean, these people obtained promises. They did all great things. They escaped the edge of the sword. You know, out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in flight. You know, and all these things they did. Even some women received their dead raised again to life. Hallelujah. Now, others were tortured. They didn't accept deliverance. You know, they just gave up their life for Christ. And I tell you something, folks. You know, the ultimate sacrifice that a person can give is their life for Christ. If somebody's life is taken because of their faith in Christ, that's an ultimate. Stephen, when he was about to be stoned to death, we see that Jesus stood up on the right hand of the throne, possibly to give him a standing ovation. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can never, you know, when you give your life to Christ, you can never get if you have to give up your life for Christ, in other words, some people who are killed and so forth in line of duty of their faith, you know, there is no greater price than that. Praise the Lord. Now, not all of us are called to do that, but we are called to live for Christ. Amen. Every day of our lives, we must live for the Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, some people, you know, also had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, and all these things. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and so on. They were destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. You know, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. I mean, look at all these things that these people went through. You know, they didn't have the best, you know, of the comfort and so forth, but they hung in there with their faith. And the Lord wrote these things concerning them. Now, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God left it something. There is something that, you know, these people still could not attain. And God is reserving that for the end so that he can be glorified in it all. Now, but these people, they obtain a good report. What kind of report are you obtaining from the Lord? Let me tell you about the books that are being written. Just like this book. Now, you're not going to get your name in this chapter 11 of Hebrews because it's already written. But there is a place where you can get your name. Amen? Now, this is God's hall of faith. These are all the people that did great things and God was writing about them and so on and so forth. There are many more, but, you know, this was the all that this writer could have time inspired to write. You know, there's many more that he didn't have time to write about. But there is a set of books that God is keeping. They are called the books, the God's record books. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 20. Turn with me to Revelation 20 real quick. And I will read verses 12 and 13. Revelation 20, verses 12 and 13. Now, a very vital and important part of this message is coming. That's why I'm rushing through this. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now, notice, plural, the books were opened. And there was another book opened. So, we see that there were some books, and then there was another book that was opened, which is the book of life. See? So, the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, the first set of books, according to their works. So, we see that God has a set of record books where he's writing things down and so forth. And if God has a record of heroes of faith, again, that he's writing, will your name be there? Will it be said of you that you believe God? I mean, could you stand with these people that believed God in their day? They were ordinary people. They didn't do anything beyond what we did. In fact, we are told in the book of James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man of like passion like us. You know, but he knew how to get a hold of God, and he knew how to pray, you know, and believe God. Now, if God were to induct in 2015, you know, they have these inductees into the Hall of Fame. In 2015, or let's even say 2014 that just passed, if God were to say the inductees for 2014 in God's Hall of Faith are the following, will you be among the number? Can it be said of you that you kept the faith? Like Paul said, I have kept the faith. Can it be said of you that you kept the faith? Are you keeping the faith? Can you be numbered among God's heroes of faith? Now, you know, we're not talking about, you know, anything great here. It's everyday life. And we're going to see some things that God is expecting us here. So we see that those books, there's a record being kept in the books. And the dead are being judged out of those things that are written in the books. So those books are different from the book of life. Because whosoever was not found written in the book of life, in verse 15 of Revelation 20, was cast to the lake of fire. But the rewards and the books, you know, keeps the rewards and people are judged according to their works. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be. Now, what is the work of God? Jesus said, was asked, he said, well, that ye might believe him whom he has sent. Now, so walk the works of faith and do the things that God has commanded us to do. You know, that is the work of God. Now, the people are judged according to their works and they have reward according to their works, you know, and so forth like that. We have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith in God, you know, but we are rewarded for our works. So I want to make sure everybody knows the difference. You know, we are not saved by our works, but we are rewarded for our works. Can you say praise the Lord? We are saved by our faith in Christ alone for the work of redemption that he already did, but we are rewarded for our works. Jesus said it repeatedly, you know, to give reward to every man according as his work shall be. You know, so that's what we are rewarded for. Now, I went through that very quickly because I want to get to this part of it for the next few minutes. And this is the most important part of this lesson that I want to bring out today. Now, remember, God is also writing and continues to write, you know, a set of stories and the annals of faith like we see here. And the challenge is, will you be inducted into God's Hall of Fame? Is he writing your name in one of those things? Now, Let's take a look at some of the things that Christ, I'm switching the message a little bit now. Some of the things that Christ expects us to be doing, in fact, commanded us to be doing. And how do you do the things that Christ commanded us to do? Well, first, you must believe the word of God. And you must know the power of God. One time Jesus said, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. He told the people, you know, that's why you don't understand that God is not a God of the dead. You know, in the book of Daniel chapter 11 and 32, the last verse, the last part of the verse says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Now, I'm going to go very quickly now into some exploits of faith. Now, I don't want everybody to be awake now. If you are awake, give the Lord a hand clap before we continue. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Because this next portion of things that I'm going to say is going to impact everybody and is very important. Now, we are told in the book of Jude chapter 1 and verse 3 that we must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, there was a faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And we're going to see what they did and what Christ also commanded us to be doing. But that seemed to have gone away and people are just, you know, I don't know what people were doing anymore, you know. But we got to go back to doing the works of faith, just like Christ commanded it. And the things that we're going to be talking about here today, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist, a prophet or apostle or this and that. All you have to do is be a believer. Praise the Lord. Amen? A believer is somebody that believes God. So let's see what Jesus said. In the book of John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, how did his Father send him? Now, let's take a look at that scripture again. Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me. Even so, send I you. Now, let's see, how did God send him? Well, there are many scriptures that bear that out, but let's read Acts chapter 10 and 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen? That's Acts 10 and 38. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power. And this declaration, he went about doing all these things. In fact, one time, when John the Baptist sent a message to him to say, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? He said, well, hold on now, you know, and then you can reply with what you see. So in the same hour, he healed the sick, he did all the things and so forth, which the Bible said he would do. You know, then he said, go tell John the Baptist that the sick are healed. Amen? Amen. The lame walk. The blind see. You know, the deaf hear. The dead are raised. Then let him make up his mind and see who I am. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. Declare to be the Son of God with power. And God, he sent him to do all these things that we see in this verse of 10:38 of the Acts. And he said in John 20 and 21, I am sending you just like my Father sent me. Now, let's see the things, and I want to talk to us now, really. Let's see the things that he said to us. In the book of Mark, let me start with Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. What does he say? When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. This is what he said. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's jump to verse 7 and verse 8 of the same chapter. Matthew 10, verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And verse 8, what does it say? Heal the sick. Can you read this with me, folks? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, I'm going to pause and talk about this for a few minutes. And this is where I want to challenge us to live the life of faith that will be recorded in God's books. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, when you go out to preach the kingdom of heaven, like right now, we should be saying, hey, look, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And when you go telling them the coming of the Lord is at hand, heal the sick in connection to your preaching. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. These are the things that we should be doing in connection to preaching the gospel. Amen? That's what Jesus said. Now, he didn't exactly say, pray for the sick. Now, there is a place, there is room for prayer for the sick. We know that. In the church, we are told in James chapter 5, from about verses 14 and down on through, he said, look, if any man is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and so forth, and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. We know that. There is room for that and so forth. But when we are out preaching the gospel, you know, Jesus gave them strict command. So when we go out for our witnessing, for instance, or evangelism and so on, we're supposed to heal the sick. We're supposed to cleanse the lepers. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to be a pastor to do it. This is the commandment he gave. And he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now let's look at Luke chapter 10 also. In the book of Luke chapter 10, I'm going to come back to something else. Luke chapter 10. Let's see the same thing, almost a similar story here, in verses 8 and 19 of Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, he said, look, whatsoever city you enter in, when you go, and so forth, eat such things as they said before you. That's Luke 10, 8. He sent them out to do the same things. And verse 19 says, behold, I give unto you what? Power. Can I hear it, folks? I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, already gave us this power. Jesus declared it himself. But are we using this power? Are we demonstrating this power? He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power over serpents. I give you power over scorpions. I give you power over all these things. Look at Mark chapter 16. Let's read from verses 17 and 18 of Mark 16. Jesus commanded them to go and teach the nations and so forth. And baptize those that believe. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Are you with me, folks? Are you a believer? These signs shall follow believers. In my name, believers shall cast out devils. Believers shall speak with new tongues. You know, there's no debate about that. You know, this is what Jesus said. What else will they do in verse 18? They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not even hurt them. I mean, somebody can try to poison you, it will not harm you. Praise the name of the Lord. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. These are the things that believers do. Folks, these are the things that we should be doing. And I want to take just a few minutes to explain the difference between healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out devils, raising the dead, and so forth, and praying for the sick. Even in the body of Christ, some people, when they are sick, they want prayer. Other people, when they are sick, they may want healing. Now, that's a difference. One time, I'll give this short testimony. I was in the Philippines in 2008 for a crusade. Some of you may remember that. And I was teaching the difference between this same very thing, subject of healing, I mean, coming for healing or coming for prayer. And and people said, you know, well, what do you mean? Because we had a pastor's conference and then the crusade and so on. So I was teaching that in the pastor's conference. And I said, well, and somebody asked the question, I said, well, you can come for prayer if you want. And if you want me to pray for you, maybe I'll pray. But if you want healing, we can minister to the sick. Amen? Amen, folks? Because Jesus said, heal the sick. You know, so when we're out there, and I've noticed this, and those of you who have been out in the field also, in evangelism, they know this. When you're out in the field, you know, you just heal the sick. You know, that's just the way it is. Heal the sick, cleanse whatever. It doesn't matter. With cancer or anything, makes the Lord no difference at all. You know, we're supposed to do that. You know, so, and then somebody finally said, well, yeah, I understand it. I get it now. I said, well, if you want prayer, you know, we can make prayer for you. And people come for prayer, you know, they go away. The next service, they come for prayer, and they go away. Then the next time another minister comes to town, they come for prayer, they go away. Well, you can come for prayer, or you can come for healing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, our business is not just praying and managing sickness. Our business is to heal the sick. Amen. Cast out the devils. There are many devils that are behind sicknesses. Cast them out. Get them out of there. Don't just pray and so on. Get them out of there. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Heal the sick. Now, can you imagine what will happen if you went down to, you know, a place and there was somebody that was on a wheelchair and you said, well, you know, and you talked to them a little bit and so forth and got them to believe, you know, that, you know, the Lord is able to do. And then you say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of your wheelchair, and you pull him up. And if he gets out of that wheelchair and runs around the, you know, grocery store, wherever that happened, how many of you know that that thing can spark a revival? Praise the Lord. But why doesn't it happen? I'll tell you why it doesn't happen. First of all, people are fearful and people don't step out in faith. One time Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, there was a story. And he said, let us go up to the other side. And he got in the boat and then there was this thing, tempest and everything came. And Jesus was asleep in the boat in the back. How many of you remember that story? And so they rushed to him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, and then he got up because of their fear and their unbelief. And then he got up and rebuked the wind. And after he rebuked the wind, then he said to them, why is it that you are so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? And so if they would have had faith, and if they would not have been afraid, there would have been no need for Jesus to get up and rebuke the wind. The disciples would have taken care of business. Praise the Lord. They could have slept just like Jesus was sleeping. Didn't matter at all, because Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. That's what he said. And they are going to the other side. They're not going to perish in the middle of the sea. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. Jesus said, go and heal the sick. That's what he said. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go and heal the sick, just like he said it. Now, if you think that, well, you know, people focus too much on themselves and focus too much on their own anointing and all of these things and so forth. We're not talking about any of that. Jesus already said, behold, I give you the authority to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, what is authority? Well, look at it this way. A policeman that is not dressed in his uniform and doesn't have his badge and so forth comes to the park. He's just like anybody else. Nobody really knows that he's anything. But if he comes with that uniform and that badge, you know, and that gun in that holster, and somebody is disturbing the peace, and I say, and he, you know, he motions to you to hold on now. And all of a sudden, he has the authority of that uniform and that badge and so on. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. Jesus said, in my name, cast out the devils and do all these things that he said for us to do. And that's what we should be doing. Now, I want to challenge us in 2015. I don't want this to be too long a message. I want to challenge us to start doing the things that God said we should do. Praise the Lord. Lay hands on the sick. Now, if you are out witnessing, for instance, you know, even if you ask to pray, yeah, you could pray, but you should command the sickness to go. Because Jesus said, heal the sick, not just pray for the sick. So when we pray for the sick out there, we should say, Lord, I thank you, you know, that you have drawn this person's heart back to you today by the miracle that you are working for them. Now, I command the sickness, come out of his body, and begin immediately to tell them to do something that they couldn't do. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, because God will do it because he asked us to do it in his name. You know, and but you won't do it if you are fearful. And you won't do it if you have no faith. That's why Jesus said, why are you so fearful? And why is it that you have no faith? You know, so faith, you know, should step out and just take the word of God. And don't worry too much about the ramifications. Just believe God and do it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I remember, you know, when I was a much younger man, you know, I read some of these Acts of the Apostles and so forth. And I just say, well, gee, you know, people can do all these things. And I just stepped out in faith. Praise the Lord. And I just began to believe God, you know. Didn't think too much about it. Prayed for the sick. Do all kinds of things, you know. Heal the sick, whatever, and all that. You know, and miracles everywhere. Because somebody dared to believe. Amen. If you can dare to believe God, we can see the same miracles again today. Praise the Lord. Look for an opportunity wherever you are to walk a miracle in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus himself said it. One time the disciples said, well, those people are walking miracles, that they are not in a part of our group. Should we forbid them? Do you know what Jesus said? There is no man that will walk a miracle in my name that will likely speak of me. So leave them alone. Now, and the disciples, you know, when they, every time they worked a miracle, and all those, you know, Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and so forth, Sadducees, they couldn't know what to do about it. They would say, look, that a notable miracle has been performed, we cannot deny it. So miracles cannot be denied. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let us step out in faith and begin to pray for the sick. I mean, heal the sick, actually. Heal the sick. When you pray for them, you can pray for the sick. I'm not saying not pray for the sick. But when you pray for the sick, at some point in time, you actually change the prayer to heal the sick. You know? So when you start to pray, you can tell the man, can I pray with you? And say, yes. Okay, fine. I mean, you can't just go up to somebody and say, you know, I want to heal you. Jesus, you know, you got to strike a conversation, get them comfortable and so forth like that. You know, like Jesus, I mean, Peter said, look on us. And the man looked on them, you know, expecting to receive something. And then he began to have a little conversation with them. Look, I can give you money if I really had money, but I don't. But there's something I might have that I have that I might be able to give you. And he said, well, what's that? Well, you know, here it is. So strike a little conversation, and then he gave him the thing. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Amen. But Peter didn't just say that and then walk away. He took him by the hand and pulled him up. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because the man has been sitting in that place so long, he's not about to get up. You know, he's like, so give him a little help. Pull him up. You know, and so forth. And the next thing you know, the man was jumping up and so forth like that. So let's begin to act on the faith. Hallelujah. All the things we have read in the book of Hebrews, all those people are ordinary human beings. They are not, there was nothing greater than they have. I mean, that, you know, than us and so forth. You know, they were just people that believed God. In the book of Romans chapter 10, we are told in verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So, as I mentioned earlier in the message, real faith must be based on the word of God. And everything that God has promised, we must step out and start doing it. Now, let me challenge us with this last scripture. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. This scripture says, what if some do not believe? He was talking about the old past, but I want to put it into present. He put this in past tense, because he was talking about those experiences in the past. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And let me say it to us this way. In today's day that we are in, with faith and so forth, what if some people do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Can somebody answer the question? I mean, if God says, go out and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and a bunch of people don't believe, does that make the word of God of none effect?
No.
Just because some people don't believe it?
No.
You know, I mean, the person that believes it will find out that this miracle is there and is working. And you don't have to go to seminary school. You don't have to wear some long gown and be some priest. You don't have to. Jesus already said it. If you can believe it and act upon it, you will find that these miracles are there. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want us to begin to try. In this year 2015, you know, recognize the presence of God around you. We've said it before. Practice his presence. Know that God is with you. Amen. And it's not the amount of how you shout that's going to make it happen. You know, it's just knowing what God has already promised and that God will stand by his word. Amen. God already, Jesus, he stepped out, you know, behind the pillow where he was sleeping, and he leaned over the boat and he said, "Peace, be still." Praise the Lord. And the storm and the tempest just quietened down. And people said, "Wow, what manner of man is this?" You know, and that is the kind of power that God has given us. Hallelujah. He said, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Let's stand to our feet here this morning. I want to challenge us to dare to believe. Is your name in God's hall of faith? When God is making up the inductees, let's even say we're in a new year. Maybe your faith wasn't there in previous years. Okay, now we have another chance. In 2015, when God would induct some people into the hall of faith, will you be a candidate? Can you believe God? Can it be said of you that you went about everywhere and the Lord was with you and you walked miracles and you did all these things and God confirmed your word with signs and wonders just like he did for the early disciples? Can it be said of you? Will you believe God like these people that did all these things and all the things that they went through in their lives? Some of them were faced with various things in their lives. They went through it and they still believed God and they came out victorious. Praise the name of the Lord. No matter what we are going through, can we believe God? Let's lift up our hands and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Not only must we believe God, but we must also obey the Lord. We are not obeying the Lord when we are not doing what he said. He gave a commandment for us to cast out devils and heal the sick. And if we are not doing it, we are not obeying. There's a song that says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I love you, how I pray you for and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." Is that your song? Can you say that you have proved him over and over? Can you say that you have proved his word every single day? Can you say that you have laid hands on the sick and the sick have recovered? Can you? Well, if you can't, begin to do it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Remember, it is God that works special miracles through the hands of Paul and did all those things. It's not you. You are doing it in his name. Go forward in the name of the Lord. Lay hands on the sick and heal the sick. Cast out devils of depression and all the things that are in our society. Begin to put them down. Hallelujah. When you see something that is unrighteous and not working right, you know there is a devil of unrighteousness behind it. Cast him out. Let's do the things that God promised. In those days, they had a lot of lepers and so on and so forth. Today, it might be leukemia. It might be cancer. It might be whatever else. Whatever it is, let's believe the Lord. Amen? Amen. If we believe God, we'll see even greater miracles. Now, let's lift up our hands and I'm going to pray. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the commandment that we have received of you to go forth, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out devils and to raise the dead even. We thank you and we believe God and we will step out by faith. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, O Lord, we thank you because you said in your word, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. That's the power of sickness, power of disease, power of accident, all the agents of death. Jesus has given us power over them. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to go and begin to take possession and begin to dispossess the devil anywhere he is. In the mighty name of Jesus. And then you come back to your own company and give testimony. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I challenge us this week. You all go out, heal some sick. Deliver somebody that has cancer. Do something great in the name of the Lord. And then come back and give testimony among your own company of what great things the Lord has done. Hallelujah! Ordinary people, believe in God even in our day. To you, God, be the praise. And to you, be the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's put our hands together. Hallelujah! Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.